Let's talk about boundary issues. The patient has a right to expect from the ethical doctor of chiropractic that the ethical doctor of chiropractic will respect a patient's modesty, a patient's privacy, a patient's integrity, and will not engage in any self-fulfilling behavior on the part of the chiropractor for that chiropractor's own sexual gratification or any sort of behavior like that. This topic you need to listen to very carefully, because a lot of lawsuits these days are filed in this area. We have a lot of chiropractors have had their practices ruined. A lot of chiropractors have spent a whole lot of money trying to get out of trouble in this area. And this area is sexual impropriety, doing inappropriate activities with a patient. And this is a huge issue, an issue that must be paid attention to, because it can get you in a lot of trouble if you're not cautious in this area, if you're not concerned in this area about doing the right thing. So, very, very important that you pay attention to some real common sense areas and some areas that maybe aren't quite so common sense. So, let's ask a question. What do we do as chiropractors to avoid problems of this nature? And by problems, we mean complaints to their licensing boards, lawsuits, personal lawsuits, malpractice lawsuits. All of these things have happened to chiropractors, to well-meaning chiropractors who don't think they're doing anything wrong. So it's very important. How do we protect ourselves, and how do we keep these things from happening? And it's just very, very important. A couple of good rules of thumb is that when you have a patient of the opposite sex in your treatment room, your adjusting room, your x-ray room, that you always have a third party present. You know, that's a recommended procedure, by the way. If you're a doctor of chiropractic, male, taking care of a patient, female, that you should always have somebody in the room of the patient's sex. So you have a female CA in the room, a female secretary in the room, a female family member of the patient in the room is recommended most of the time. And that's just something that sometimes creates problems for the chiropractor. You know, if you have only one secretary in the office and they're up at the front desk answering the phone and dealing with patients, it's not always possible for them to be in the room. So you need to take some precautions and make sure that you satisfy this requirement of openness, that you have somebody available to be in the room while you're taking care of the patient, especially if you're doing anything that could in any way be construed as a sensitive area. If you're checking a person's sacrum, if you're checking a coccyx, if you're palpating ischial tuberosities, if you are doing motion palpation in the thoracic spine, many, many areas involve some little question that could be brought up. Is what is the doctor's motive in doing this? So you have to make sure that you're doing it for the absolutely right reason, the right motive, and that you're doing it with no sexual connotation whatsoever, that you're doing this in the most professional manner possible. And the other thing is that you alert the patient before you do it. You don't ever just start doing motion palpation in the thoracic spine. You explain what you're going to do. Don't ever just palpate somebody's ischial tuberosities. Explain what you're going to do. Make sure that the patient knows, and you can use a spine model or use a diagram or a picture or something to explain what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and why you're doing it. If you're going to palpate tuberosities or palpate the coccyx, make sure the patient knows why you're doing it. Here is some of the little things that come up within allegations against chiropractors. here are some areas that you may not even think about. You know, a lot of times chiropractors become friends with their patients, and we know the people, they go to our church, they live in our neighborhood, their kids play with ours, and so we get kind of overly familiar with our patients sometimes. The other thing is that we have long-lasting relationships. Chiropractors very often will have patients who come to the office over 25 years to get their spines checked. So we become extremely familiar with people. And so when we are very familiar with people, we tend to let our guard down a little bit. And by being a little overly familiar, we may step over the bounds called sexual propriety or sexual impropriety. You have to be very cautious. Telling a joke to a patient, number one, some verbal interaction. You know, you wouldn't think of telling a slightly shady joke to a brand new patient you've just met, or I hope you wouldn't think of that, and of the opposite sex, you know, somebody the age of your mother maybe, you just wouldn't think of doing that. So why would you think of doing it to a patient your own age that you've known for 15 or 20 years in the office, you know? And sometimes by letting your guard down, you may say something slightly shady, something slightly familiar. You may tell a little bit of an off-color joke. That can get you in big trouble. So be very cautious in the office to always maintain an air of professionalism. People don't expect their doctors to make double entendre jokes. They don't expect their doctors to use profanity, to use swear words. They just don't expect that. Maintaining professional demeanor at all times is very helpful. Dr. Barge, Fred Barge, in a book that is on the recommended reading list for this class called Are You the Doctor, Doctor? He says something in that book that I think is in this area of conversation, in this topic. He says something that I think you could remember, and this would be a guideline for you. He says, when you're in the office with a patient of the opposite sex, you know, and he's talking mostly to male doctors, of course, about female patients, he says this. He says, treat every female patient as, number one, your mother, number two, your daughter. Okay, that you act like you would act to your mother or your daughter in touching them, in examining them, in adjusting them, doing whatever you do. Just imagine that the patient is either your mother or your daughter. He says, then you'll probably do the right thing. There won't be any problem. And it's just important that you maintain the modesty of a patient. We come into this question here about gowning. Do we need to gown patients? Anytime you're going to be touching an area that is not normally exposed on the street, then you would probably give the patient the option of a gown. You know, and just say, would you be more comfortable if we put a gown on that opens down the back? Rather than, you know, the option is what? Unbutton your shirt, or pull up a shirt, or pull down your pants. Those are the options, and so you make sure that you allow the patient the option of having a gown that you can open discreetly and open only in one area. And you know, you by asking the patient, would you prefer to slip on a gown, even areas that you might not think very sensitive. You know, you're going to check somebody's upper thoracic spine. You know, you don't think of that as a, you know, particularly sensitive area. But you know, how do you get to it without baring somebody's back, without undoing some article of clothing? The other thing is, you don't undo the clothing. You let the patient do it. You don't unbutton somebody's shirt, pants. You don't do that. You ask the patient to do it and let them do it. So your verbal interaction with the patient, make sure you don't say things that can be misconstrued. We even get down to facial expressions. There have been lawsuits filed against chiropractors for leering, okay? I put those in quotes, leering. And what is a leer? You know, it's a lascivious look at someone, a look that implies sexual interest or sexual overtones, a leer. And, you know, it's hard to define what a leer is, but don't be leering at any of your patients. Make sure you look at them with normal facial expressions. If you're examining a patient's spine, it would be inappropriate to to breathe hard, inappropriate to say anything suggestive. You don't comment on a patient's anatomical virtues or shortcomings. You don't comment on a person's anatomy, physiology, their tattoos, or anything in a lascivious way. You don't make jokes that could be shady. Just very cautious with your verbal, with your expression. And then let's talk about your behavior, your touching behavior. We as chiropractors put our hands on people. That's what we do. We touch people in areas that they're not normally touched in. You wouldn't walk down the street and palpate somebody's sacrum or their, you know, the sacral notch or the sacrococcygeal junction. Those are not areas that are typically touched in normal human interaction, except intimate human interaction. You know, you might touch your spouse's sacral notch. You don't touch the sacral notch of the clerk in the store you go in. Okay, it's inappropriate activity. So as a chiropractor, we're going to be palpating, touching, examining, adjusting areas where patients are not normally touched. It is very, very important that we explain to people what we're going to do. That we explain to them, we are chiropractors, I'm going to be examining you, I'm going to be touching your spine and some areas in your hips and pelvis, and I want you to be comfortable, so would you like to put on a gown, because I'm going to be feeling in this area, and I may hold up a model of the spine here, and so I'm going to be feeling in this area. I need to gather information to help determine what the best way to take care of you is, so I'm going to be doing that, okay? And you ask the question. You get a patient's permission before you do that. A patient may, at that juncture, right at that point, decide they don't want to be a chiropractic patient. You know, it kind of comes down to, if you're going to touch me that way, I'm out of here. They have the option to leave. You make sure they have that option to leave. You explain, and then you get their permission. You get their permission verbally by saying, is that all right? Is that okay? Okay, a person's down, face down on the table, and you're going to palpate an area of the pelvis or a sensitive area. You say, okay, I'm going to need to palpate right in the area of your hips now. Is that all right? Get that. Make sure you have that. If you're going to do any adjustive procedure, for example, contacting the ischial tuberosities, contacting the inguinal ligament, contacting the side of the pubis, contacting the anterior superior iliac spines, contacting the sacral notch or coccyx, you ask, you tell, you explain, you educate before you do it. You got to do that. It's very, very important. Let people know. No matter what sex they are, it's important to let them know. Let's face it, this is an area that is largely weighted. I just say we're largely talking about male chiropractor, female patient. I do not know of a sexual harassment charge against a female chiropractor by a male patient. Don't know of one. I know of hundreds. Female patient, male doctor. Hundreds. Maybe thousands. There are just loads of them. So be extremely cautious in areas of male patient, male chiropractors. Some complaints have been complaints. Be cautious in that area. Female doctors, female patients. Don't know of any. Okay, so we're largely dealing here with male doctors and female patients. That's the most common situation. Occasionally a male patient. But make sure whatever you do is explained ahead of time, and you have patient permission to do what you're going to do. If you are a doctor that adjusts extremities or adjusts ribs, then we're dealing with the areas of the breast. You must be very cautious. In any contacts that you make, you explain them ahead of time, and let everybody know what you're up to. Preferably have someone else in the room. Preferably. That's your first preference. And that could be somebody who came with a patient. Very often, a family member will come with a patient. So you invite that. Make sure you have someone else in the room. If you can't do that, get your CA in. If you don't have a CA, get somebody in the room. If there's no one else in the office, make sure the doors are open. You want to create an atmosphere and a situation of openness. I don't have anything to hide here. I'm doing everything in the most professional manner I can. You wouldn't want to leave the door open into the waiting room, of course. But But if you have another door opening to some other room, open the door. That creates an area of openness, creates an atmosphere of openness. You know, just no sexual innuendo. Okay, very important. And there's just no verbal interplay, no physical interplay that could be interpreted in any way other than one of utmost professionalism. That's all I can say on that. Be very cautious with it. You know, it's better to not do something rather than to do something and get in big trouble. If you need to palpate an area and you have any sense of reservation here, just say, I'm going to postpone that. Tell the patient, I'm going to postpone that until you can bring in a family member or until I have an assistant here. You know, that is an acceptable thing to do. And if the patient says, oh, no, go ahead, it's okay, then you say, are you sure? You know, and it would not be unheard of that you might ask a patient to sign a statement to that effect. That sounds paranoid, you know, but you must cover yourself. Let me mention something going on in one of our healthcare fields. In the area of plastic surgery and cosmetic surgery, it is now recommended procedure that all encounters with a patient be videotaped. That you have a little camera in the corner of the room that is on you know, automatic sensor, so it kicks on when somebody enters the room or when you close the door, and that all patient encounters are videotaped. With a videotape, there is no question about who said what and who did what. It's being videotaped the whole time. You know, running on slow or running with interruptions, one videotape can do a 6-hour tape, and you store that. And you know, just the cost of doing business, one tape a day, you know, it's a couple of bucks. And you have every patient interaction videotaped. In the field of cosmetic surgery, there were just too many lawsuits and too many questions about misunderstandings in what was said. It's not so much in physical touching or anything in that field, it's more what kind of promises did the doctor make? And, you know, the doctor promised to make you look like Marilyn Monroe, but you came out looking like Phyllis Diller. You know, that's a problem. And so he said, she said, or he said, becomes a big problem. So the videotape doesn't lie. The videotape doesn't lie. It's there. It will indicate what was said and what was done with no questions. So having no questions is very important. You may wish to think about doing that. And just say, I have a videotape, a video camera in my adjusting room. When the door closes, it comes on. So when I put a person on the table, when I talk to them, it's recorded. When I adjust them, it's recorded. Every encounter. We open the door, the camera goes off. And at the end of the day, we date that videotape and store it. And you store it for a few years. You have a stash of videotapes in the back. If a question ever arises about what occurred on a particular visit, rewind the videotape. It doesn't lie. So, I'm not suggesting necessarily that you do that, but, you know, it's you have to think about it a couple of ways. You know, maybe it would cut down on, you know, patients, what the patient wants to tell you, you know, but it changes the tone a little bit of the interaction with you and a patient. If you know everything's being videotaped, you know it and the patient knows it, changes the tone a little bit. Maybe that's a good thing. One problem in doing that is that you want to make sure that the patients know you're videotaping. Then we get into privacy issues here. You know, are you taking videotapes for your later sexual amusement becomes a question, you know. So you have to make sure the patients know that your encounter is videotaped. In that case, you post a sign in the waiting room that says, for your protection, you know, all encounters with a doctor are being videotaped. Hey, they do it at the bank, right? And lots of other places now do it at the fast fair. They do it at the convenience stores. All interactions are videotaped. So we're sort of entering a new era politically, and you know, political correctness is very important. Allegations of sexual impropriety can absolutely ruin a practice. Absolutely. So in order to guard against that, you may have to take a few steps that may not seem quite that you should have to take them. But you decide how far you want to go with your own protection. Another thing I would remind you of is many malpractice insurance companies tell you right up front when you sign up for the policy, when you first become a policyholder, they will tell you this. We don't cover you in cases of allegations of sexual misbehavior. We don't cover you for that. So if you get accused of sexual impropriety, you're on your own defending yourself. Okay. Not all insurance companies do that. Some do. Make sure you know what you're buying when you buy an insurance policy. Enough said.